Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, 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 calling all radio amateurs. This is Andy, K1RA, activating the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association General Service Net. This net meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Fauquier Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL access tone of 167.9 Hz. Anyone listening would like additional information about our repeater, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for all licensed hams, FARA members or not, for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as operating procedures, communication modes, activities, radios, antennas, computer hardware and software, and other similar information related to amateur radio activities. A few announcements for this evening. Coming up this month, October 12th at 7:15 p.m. Thursday, we have the FARA meeting, which is held at the PATH Foundation Building in Warrenton, Virginia. This month, we have guest speakers Randy, WB7RAV, and Matt, KO4WYX, providing us a presentation on VARAC, that's V-A-R-A-C. And we have a second presentation provided by Matt, KE7EX, on Whisper. If you are not able to attend the presentation or meeting in person, please feel free to see our website, w4va.org, for a WebEx link. All hams are invited to join in if possible. October 21st, there is a VE session at 9:30, presented by the Virginia Volunteer Examiners. And on October 28th, the last Saturday of the month, we have our informal club breakfast, which is open to all hams in the area. It's located, that's held at the Bistro Cafe on the Hill at the Fauquier Hospital. For more detailed information on any of these announcements, please see our website at w4va.org. So I will make a request for any topics of discussion for this evening. Does anybody have anything that they would like to discuss? Please give me your call sign now. Any other further announcements that are pertaining to FARA or the ham community, please give your call now. Okay, nothing heard. Given today is 10-4, I will ask those out listening tonight if they don't have anything to particularly say or add to the net discussion tonight, maybe just tell us how you got your involvement in ham radio. What was your introduction? Was it through the Citizens Band? Was it through GMRS? Potentially a school teacher or a relative, let us know how you got into the hobby. At this time, I will take check-ins. First, looking for any patients checking in over the internet, please give your call now. It's K1RA. Okay, hearing no stations over the internet link, I'm looking for any mobile stations. Any mobile stations only, please call K1RA now. Okay, very good. No one on the road tonight, so I'll take any general check-ins. Please give your call sign phonetically if needed. This is K1RA standing by.
HTV. Kilo 3, Foxtrot Romeo.
Kilo Quebec 4, Golf Bravo Echo.
K2PI. K4EI.
Kilo Quebec 4, Echo Uniform India.
Kilo Mike 4, Oscar Zulu Hotel.
Whiskey 8, Bravo Tango.
KZ4TWB.
Foxtrot.
Okay, very good. We'll hold it there for the moment. Let me run down the list of call signs. There were a couple of doubles. I got the strongest station out of the bunch, so we'll list them as follows in order. We have K1HTV, K3FR, KQ4GBE, K2PI, K4EI, AQ4EUI, AM4OZH, W8BT, KZ4TWB. I got a station Foxtrot FF. Could I have your call sign again, please?
Kilo
Roger, confirm Kilo Bravo 3 Papa Foxtrot Foxtrot. Not very strong, but we got you in there. And then KE7EX. Are there any stations that I missed? Please call again.
W4RKU.
Okay, we got W4RKU. One final call for anybody else wishing to check into the Wednesday night net. Please call K1RA now.
K Bravo 7, Romeo Alpha Victor. No comment.
Hey, Randy, WB7RAV, got you down for no comment. Thanks for checking in, and look forward to seeing meeting next week. Okay, let's go to the top of the list again. Don't have anything to add. Please tell us how you got into the hobby. Otherwise, we're interested to hear what you've been doing in the hobby this week. Maybe a new piece of equipment, some new mode you might have been on, some bands or DX that you might have experienced over the past week. Anything related to the hobby, we'd love to hear. So over to K1HTV. Go ahead.
K1RA in the net from K1HTV. Good evening, all. I started my ham radio career by being an SWL as a teenager and listening up to my grandmother's and grandfather's to their shortwave radio and heard a number of hams on AM and did a lot of SWLing. I went into high school. One of the kids was a ham, or a couple were hams, and they talked about this guy named Jack Katz, who would give novice exams, took the novice exam from Jack Katz, K1AMO, who's now a silent key. And I got my start there. Tell myself Morse code and went on from there. It was it's been a fun hobby. I've been active every year. I've not, never had a period of time where I wasn't on the air. As far as activity, a number of the expeditions still on and more to come. A new one that just was added a day or so ago, TX6 X-ray, Tango X-ray 6 X-ray in French Polynesia. We're waiting patiently or impatiently for Whiskey 8 Sugar, W8S, special de-expedition, special call sign to the island of, which is near American Samoa, called Swains Island. It's the northernmost island in the territory of American Samoa group. So look for them, Whiskey 8 Sugar, to be on all the bands and all the modes. And they're supposed to be on today. There was one set of spots around 10 hours ago. Could have been a pirate, but that was just at one time. So they're supposed to be on the island and ready to go. Other than that, the bands have been pretty good. 10 and 12 have been open to Asia in the evening, and also some long path openings in the morning. 15's been great. I'm hearing a lot of sideband stuff on now. So if you haven't been on the upper bands, and you can get up there, get on the air. That's it for now. Back to you, Andy. This is K1HTV.
Hey, Dad, very good. Thanks for your comments, and good luck on picking up W8S. And yeah, I, too, have been watching my PSK reporter SDR receiver app and seeing quite a bit of activity right now on 10 meters. I'm seeing two stations out of Indonesia, three or four out of Australia, a couple out of the Philippines, and one out of China, two out of China, one out of South Korea, and a handful out of Japan. So opening on 10 meters tonight, FT8, FT4 to that part of the world. Next on the list, we have Ron, K3FR. Go ahead.
Good evening, Andy and the group. This is K3FR. Well, right, been silent on the air, but just been doing too many other non-ham things this week. I just have a lot of interruptions that are getting to me while I wait for the 7300 to be repaired. Yeah, let's see how I got into ham radio. Well, my dad, as I've mentioned many times before, my dad was first licensed in 1920. And he held his license continuously until he passed in 1977. He really enjoyed talking a lot with friends, at least what I remembered, friends on Sunday evening. And then also he was part of the civilian defense and also WEIRS, War Emergency Radio System. Of course, that was a little bit before my time, though not too much. I came along near the end of that activity. But when I was young, 5 years old or so, I remember sitting on his lap as he chatted with his friends on Sunday evenings. I liked the sound. I got to meet a lot of the people and in person, and I really enjoyed their company. Sometime around when I was nine, and we had moved into a new home, I spent a lot of time down in the basement. He had acquired a TG-10. That was a paper tape code machine. He could put paper tapes on, and these were just these were not like teletype tapes. These were quarter-inch wide tape with the actual Morse trace on them. But anyway, I got to learn CW that way, along with becoming a ham radio operator book, and the chart that he made for me that showed the dots and dashes equivalent to the letters, etc. I eventually, after playing around with that and asking him, getting a lot of teaching and guidance on how to use the receivers that we had, I ended up taking my novice test in 1959 from one of his friends his work was also a ham. He actually was a neighbor of ours as well. And I guess the rest is history from there on out. A lot of other things to say, but yes, through my dad. And I count him as also my main Elmer as well. K1RA, K3FR.
A quick break, Ron. What was your dad's call in 1920?
My dad's call in 1920 was 3UK. And that's interesting because the number three, but he was living in New Jersey. He always lived in New Jersey because until about 19, somewhere around the war, was the FRS when the federal radio system was, our Federal Radio Commission was put in. They revised the call areas and moved the third call area, parts of it, at least they defined as the second call area as New Jersey, New York. And at that time he had to change his call. He couldn't get to UK because that was assigned to Ralph Thomas, otherwise known as well as KH6UK. My dad ended up with W2UM. So that's his whole history, K1RA, K3FR.
Very cool, Ron. Well, thanks for that bit of history. And, I figured back then only the three designators, number, letter, back in the day from what I've seen from old radio history. So Roger, 3UK, and then eventually W2UM. Scott, KQ4GBE, I know you're newly licensed ham, so how are you doing, and how'd you get in the hobby from K1RA?
K1RA, KQ4GBE, to be for starting, I mean, it went back a long time. I've always wanted to get licensed, and, growing up in the 70s, that was really into radio communications. Even as a little kid, I just loved walkie-talkies and all that. When I got to be a teenager, I guess that was in the early 80s, I kind of lost interest in it and ended up working at Radio Shack when I was about 16 years old in the 80s. And a lot of hams came in getting cables and that sort of thing, and I was always jealous of them. And when I got to college, I kind of lost interest again, but ended up working as an audio engineer for broadcast radio and television for a short while in the early 90s. And then this is maybe going back to last year, maybe last spring 2022, someone gave me one of these really cheap Baofeng handhelds, and I didn't know people were still using ham radios, and at least, I was using VHF at the time. So I was just really shocked that there was so much out there, especially near my area, because I'm pretty, within probably 39 miles of this repeater, but I'm about 3 miles from the Blue Mount repeater, and I was just really impressed and listened for a long time. Also listened on the SDR. And then I think I got my license in February this year, and I abandoned those inexpensive handhelds and got obsessed with it and ended up with two fixed stations and, gosh, about three or four handhelds now, and I'm always using my car, and I'm just really enjoying it. KQ4GBE, back to net.
That's great, Scott. Well, welcome to the hobby, and glad you got back into it after having interest over the years, and yet still alive, well, and kicking, and as well as the guys who enjoy some of the older technology from decades ago. Of course, there's a lot of leading-edge stuff going on as well, so fun and many fast to offer to a lot of the folks who get into the hobby. Next on the list, Harv, K2PI. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi Andy, K2PI and the net from KLNRA and the net from K2PI. Been pretty busy here, kind of moving things around, so I'm a little distracted. I'm sorry about that. I've been busy working on a few things ham radio related this week. I'm still tracing out what happened during a nearby lightning strike I had here. I've come to believe now it came in somehow via a USB hub, which wasn't a cheap hub, but it wasn't an expensive hub. And it bit all the devices attached to that hub. It burned out an expensive GOES LNA, a couple of SDRs, including an AirSpy HF Plus and an SDR Play, which, by the way, I sent that SDR Play in for service, and they weren't able to fix it. There was so much blown up on it. But the guy sold me a brand new, or refurbished, but basically brand new RSP-1A for $40. So that's $33 service charge plus $7 for the extra SDR, and I now have that replaced. So I never want to have that happen again. So I bought an industrial 10 kilovolt ESD protected hub, and that's on its way here. A little more expensive, quite expensive actually, but I'm going to plug every amateur radio related thing, receivers, etc., that use USB into that hub from now on. I'm never going to have this happen again, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure things that are on USB are protected. And, of course, after some cheap coax I had on my ADSB, the new antenna I put up, I put new coax on it, but it was cheap, kind of $50 coax off of Amazon. And, of course, it worked for a little while, right until we had some recent rains that flooded it out. And all of my signals went down dramatically until everything dried out. So I realized what had happened. I bit the bullet, and I ordered and installed Times Microwave L600 dB coax, which has 1.5 dB of loss per 50 feet, 1,200 megahertz. And that's helped. I'm seeing regular planes up into New York State and Connecticut, down into South Carolina and west into Ohio. So I think this is going to be a better setup for that. Let me drop it for a second. My IC705 remains in the shop in Washington State. I had to send it back because, of course, its USB port got destroyed. Luckily, it was still on warranty, and it's not going to cost me anything to repair, but it was pretty sad to send it back. The K3 continues to work, but it's definitely no longer my favorite rig. But I did work several of the de-expeditions recently, including the 5X3K group in Uganda, who've been pretty active. As people probably know, if you're reading the group's IO, I did a Meshtastic run today. But our mesh is growing, and it's becoming much more effective, even out onto 66, which I'm pretty amazed by. My ham radio story, I was interested in amateur radio as young as 6 or 7. My father brought home an old broadcast console radio, which had shortwave bands, and I was fascinated by the CW I heard on that. And I later read a ham column in Boys Life in middle school, but I never really went for amateur radio until I got into the CB boom of 1970s, and I realized how much fun this was. I had two Elmers who told me, this is nothing, you need to become hams. They were Mike WATGPY and Larry W2BBK, who was an original spark gap ham, Larry was. So I took the novice test during the end of the bicentennial summer in 1976. I didn't receive my ticket till that fall, and I appear in the call book from 1977. So that's my story. Sorry for the long-winded piece. Back to you, Andy, K1RA, K2PI.
Oh, enjoy it, Harv. Always interested to hear how people got in, and appreciate the details. Also, your work on traveling around with the Meshtastic node. For those who don't know, that's a 900 megahertz, about 100 milliwatt output transceiver. It's a transceiver for spread spectrum use, mainly text messaging at this point, low bandwidth. And we've got half a dozen or more folks set up fixed stations and a handful more who've got some portable or mobile that they're bringing up on the air. We've been doing some testing of distances covered and trying to make sure that we can fill in some of the gaps. My dad, K1HTV, is trying to get on from Amosville, hasn't quite linked in yet. But between Harv, myself, and Keith, KD9ATF, down there in the Catlett area, we're starting to cover everything in between those points on the triangle, and we'll keep you guys posted on what's happening next. Keep an ear to Groups IO. Jeff, how are you doing tonight? What do you have to say for yourself? K4EI in the group from K1RA.
Well, good evening, Andy. K1RA from K4EI. Hope everyone's doing well this evening. And great question. I've been interested in ham radio since I was a young kid, but never really did anything with it until actually just a few years ago when I retired. But as a kid, I would occasionally buy a copy of, I guess it was either CQ Magazine or QST, I can't even remember, but they'd have them at the drugstore, and I'd buy that occasionally and read it and just enjoy that. And unfortunately, I didn't know anyone who was involved in radio, and I didn't have any money to really put towards it, so it wasn't something I could really do as a kid. And then, of course, you get older, and life has its way. I did do a thing with CB radio back in the 70s, more in the 80s. I was commuting here from Fauquier County to Drainesville. I worked for AT&T, and we had we still have an underground facility there in Drainesville. It was originally designed to help maintain communications during a nuclear war, so it was underground through blast doors and so on. A really interesting facility, as an aside. But anyway, several of us from Fauquier County would drive there and commute there every day, and we all had CB radios in our vehicles, so we'd chat and talk about traffic and everything else under the sun on the way in. And subsequent to getting licensed as a ham, I've long wondered and had some degree of regret of not having access to 2 meters during that time. That would have been really cool. I know a lot of the guys hit the Faro repeater during their commute. So anyway, I ended up getting licensed after I retired in 2016 and have just deeply, deeply enjoyed the hobby ever since. I spend an hour or two pretty much every day on HF, and I spend a bit of time on AM. I definitely have an affinity for the old style kind of stuff, the old style kind of radio. So hearing the stories from all you guys who've been in the hobby for a long, long time, like Ron talking about his dad going back to 1920, that is just so, so cool. And you, Andy, you guys were able to have a dad as a mentor. You know, I just can't imagine a better situation than that. So anyway, it's just a fantastic hobby, and I can't imagine not enjoying it until the show is over, as they say. Anyway, back to you, Andy. K1RA from K4EI.
Very good, Jeff. Well, glad you finally got into the hobby. I've enjoyed your company and some of your projects and tasks along the way that you've shared with us in the club, and look forward to hearing more from you in the near future. Next on the list, KQ4EUI, Mike, fairly newly licensed and also recently trying to get on the Meshtastic network. How are you doing from K1RA?
K1RA, this is KQ4EUI. Thanks for taking the net, Andy. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, the Meshtastic thing is pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to maybe seeing if I can figure out how to get in on it from way out here in Amosville. I've just recently licensed in ham radio. I was staring down the barrel of retirement, and having been in computers and networking for 45 years, I didn't want to play with computers when I retired. So I wanted something a little bit technical with some mathematical kind of background, and I thought radios would be the way to go. So far it's been really interesting. I've been learning quite a lot. Interestingly enough, when I was a kid, I lived in Canada, and kid that I hung out with, his dad was a ham, and for some reason, 55 years later, I can still remember his call sign, which was VE6ABR. His name was Glazier. He was I think he was a World War II vet, and he had a big tower out the back, and he was always working on it and doing stuff. But he never really showed my friend and me anything about the radios, which is a bit of a disappointment. So, yeah, just recently got into it and having a good time. Back to the net.
Very good, Mike. Well, we hope to get you into the mesh soon. My dad had come over today and picked up a 900 megahertz antenna and a cable that he'll be using on his node that he's been pulling up into a tree in the backyard. He'd done a little bit of mapping, although I didn't have your exact street location, and on QRZ you only have a P.O. box, so I was hoping to see. I'm guessing you guys are probably pretty much radio line of sight on 900 megahertz, but I might reach out to you later on email and get a latitude longitude from you and see what distance you are. I know you're not too far down the road based on where he thought you were on the map. Thanks for sharing. And the next on the list, we have Gil, KM4OZH from K1RA. Go ahead.
K1RA, this is KM4OZH. Well, good evening, Andy, and everybody on the net. Don't let me forget my to talk about a mesh-tastic here before I get done. Well, I don't have much of a history, and my dad was an electrical contractor and did a little bit of radio repairing back when I was young. So it seems like there are always all kinds of old radios around, which I still have. But he was never a ham and or anything. But I all around 1966. Well, I was started becoming interested in that, and I started studying a little bit for the test and trying to learn the code, and that was where the problem was. So I fooled around with that for a little bit, but then at that time in my life came along hot rods and girls. So that kind of went off to the side until like 2013. I bought a box of junk at a sale, and in there was a CB radio and an antenna. And I said, huh. So I just hooked it up, and there was all this talking, and so I would call back, and nobody ever answered. Well, lo and behold, that was the peak of the last solar cycle, and so them guys was in California and so forth. So there was a lot of skip going on at that time. So I tinkered with that stuff for a little bit, and then my neighbor, WB4TT, said, Gil, will you quit fooling with this CB and get your ham license? And I said, oh, Jeff, I can't manage the code. He said, you don't need the code anymore. And so I said, huh. So I think within probably 3 months of three months of that, I took my tech exam here and with the old Virginia Hams, and then a month later got my general, and so I've been fooling with it ever since, and I'm not going in the direction that I had originally intended. So there we go. But I heard, okay, so there's so much for that. And now I'm going to ask, Andy, you and Harv were, this is off of Group CIO here, about the mesh-tastic from the intersection of Route 66 and 28. And was that signal to your repeater? Because from my house to your repeater, to your house, it appears to be like 18 miles. And I think it's less than that from the intersection of 28 and 66 to your house. So maybe the mesh-tastic will not be impossible from my location. That's all I got. KM4OZH.
Okay, Gil, very good. Well, thanks for sharing on your trip, long trip to get into the hobby, and glad you made it over from the dark side. Regarding mesh-tastic, we believe, based on some data that Keith KD9ATF provided earlier today, that he was the first one to hear any of Harv's sequential ping packets as he drove home. Still on Route 28 South, north of Route 66, if you look at the group's IO, I plotted some maps, and it appears that Keith who's got a antenna on top of one of the barn silos. I think he said it's up about 60 feet on a silo. Antenna is almost line of sight to that intersection, and that's a 16-mile airline path. So that really says something about what the 100 milliwatts and some an antenna ground level or at car level on the roof can reach out. So yeah, I got some I got an email from Garth K4BOX, who's recently said he's acquired a T-beam, and some of the graphics and data that I presented tonight on Groups.io said it makes him feel more promising and doesn't quite so guilty now about putting down $40 for a small transceiver, and he's hoping to join the mesh. So hoping to see more guys on, and as I said, I'm trying to fill in the gaps and plot some locations to help guys know where they might link in. So next on the list, Travis, W8BT. How you doing? And over to you from K1RA.
Hey, good evening, Andy, and all in the net. This is W8BT. I guess I would say I was kind of similar to Gil. I did have a CB radio, I don't know, 20 years ago. Somebody gave me, but never made a contact on it. Didn't know anything about SWR back in the day. Had no clue what I was doing, but anyway, eventually, about 10 years ago, I built my first TV antenna when I was living in Somerset, PA, trying to get some stations out of Pittsburgh from a decent distance away. But did that. Tried the CB up there as well. Didn't work. And then came down to Virginia and started doing some scanning. Actually went to a NASCAR race and bought a scanner, and that's when I heard my first hams on the air. Turns out I actually had a my dad's brother's wife, her dad was a ham. I can't remember his call sign because it wasn't the greatest. He was a ham. I remember him having the scanner with him, at family dinners and stuff. But anyway, eventually, built my, did some TV antennas and scanning, and then realized, maybe I should get my ham license, because in some states it's illegal to have a scanner in your car. Well, and then, one thing led to another, and a friend of mine from high school, turns out he was a ham, and he encouraged me to get my, just because I was getting my license, he encouraged me to get my extra. So there it went, about 2015. Actually, I was a little bit before Gil, I think. He was KM4OZH, I was KM4IXY, so I beat Gil by a little bit, but haven't done much on the air. Did get on 10 meters here tonight before the net, or as the net started, and I was heard on 5 watts on 10 meters as far as Alaska and the eastern side of Australia with my ZS6BKW in 5 watts. So well, that's about it for me. Back to you, Andy. Thanks for going to the net. K1RA, this is W8BT.
Hey, very good, Travis, and thanks for your comments tonight, and good to hear that you're still doing TVDXing. That's what kind of got you into it, and always good to see your rabbit ears entry on the TVDX page, see what distant stations you might be pulling in. I guess we had a pretty good opening about a week or so back. I copied a T station out of Boston, Mass, the UTF. And earlier in the month in September, copied WBZ out of Boston and UHF TV in one of those morning tropo openings. Next on the list, KZ4TWB, Tim, who I know used to be KQ4JMF, so fairly newly licensed. How you doing, and how'd you get into the hobby? Go ahead.
K1RA, this is KZ4TWB. I'm doing well, thanks, and thanks for taking care of the net. So not really a whole lot to say, but years ago, I got a hold of an old radio or something, and I heard Morse code on it, and so I got interested in ham radio back then, but then things happened and then nothing really happened. And then several years later, when I was in high school, my mother remarried and married an electrical engineer, and so I got into electronics. So I had an oscilloscope and logic probe and was building my own digital circuits and power supplies and things like that. And then again, things happen in life, so I had to stop doing that. And then finally, actually like maybe 6 months to a year ago, I ended up getting a scanner like the previous fellow did and started hearing ham radios and decided I wanted to get into ham radio. And so I finally got my technician license a few months ago, and then I read about getting a vanity call sign, so I got one with my initials in it. And then so far I've built an antenna from a kit off of ARRL, and I've built a square halo antenna, which seems to work okay when I set it up. I still have to get it on the roof. But other than that, trying to learn as much as I can, because I'm really into electronics, and ham radio seems the way to me to learn more things about that. And so it'll take quite a bit of time, because you get busy doing things during the day and at work and other things that you have to take care of. But so hopefully I can keep going at it and learning more things, because I do find it really interesting. And so that's pretty much all I got to say. So this is KD4TWB back tonight.
Okay, Tim, very good. Well, thanks for your comments. Glad you're able to join in the hobby, and yeah, look forward to hearing more about some of your projects as time becomes available. You get to dabble a bit more, and hope to get you out to one of the roving club stations, which reminds me, I know you got the date wrong and we're not able to attend your slot available, which I will then turn around and say, Mark, K4SO, who is sponsoring this month's Roving Club Station, which is an event, an RSVP event, in which he's inviting hams out to his station for a show and tell, to get on the air, to learn a little bit more about the hobby. Mark has said we still have a number of slots open. So in the beginning, we were looking only for kind of the newer hams or those who don't have stations available. He's basically said anybody in the club now who would like to come out and get a tour, please reach out. Probably the best way right now is to reach out to me, since I'm helping Mark handle RSVPs. You may email me and my call sign K1RA at K1RA.us. That's United States. So feel free to reach out if you want to go visit Mark this weekend, October 7th, Saturday, three time slots between, I think, 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Saturday, I think an hour and a half slot each. So if you're interested in seeing Mark's setup, he's got quite an interesting shack. You can find him on QRZ.com if you want to see a couple of pictures to whet your appetite. And next on the list, we have KB3PFF. How are you doing tonight from K1RA? Hey Steve, pretty noisy there, but copied perfectly fine. Steve, I think you're our farthest check-in tonight from up there in Rockville, Maryland. You're probably about 50% quieting, and audio is strong enough that you can overcome the noise, but definitely the DX of the night. So thanks for checking in, and hope to hear you on again. Next on the list, we have Matt, KE7EX from K1RA. Go ahead.
Good evening, Andy and the net. This is KE7EX, Matt in Manassas. I really appreciate the question about how do we become licensed in the ham radio, and that today is 10-4. I hadn't thought of it that way. I got my first ticket in high school. We had a ham radio class at a church in my hometown of Herndon, and I heard Morse code for the first time, and I was hooked. And that was after a year of tuning into shortwave radio, building kits at Radio Shack and things like that. So my main draw was use my lawn mowing money to buy a QRP CW rig for 30 meters, and it was 30 meters was the band I wanted to get on because I had two trees outside my window that were 46 feet apart for a 30-meter dipole. I just thought that was perfect. So that was my goal, and I got my general a few years later and my extra, and love being a part of this club and love all the camaraderie that we have. Thanks again for taking that, Andy. 7-3, back to net. This is KE7EX.
Very good, Matt. Well, appreciate your comments, and thanks again for taking on a presentation this month. Look forward to your Whisper presentation, and likewise, very much appreciate you stepping out, stepping up over the past couple of months and sharing some of your antenna projects, and look forward to hearing more from you in the future. I appreciate your UHF experiments that we've been running on the our 70-centimeter repeater. Next on the list, we have Kevin, W4RKU. Go ahead, from K1RA.
K1RA, W4RKU. Good evening, Andy. Thanks for doing that tonight. My grandfather was the one that got me into the hobby, plain and simple. He bucked me since I was real small, and it irked him when I got into CB radio. But then again, you know, I wasn't inspired to learn the code back then. But I finally did that when I was 17 and got my license in 1980. It would have been a better mentor experience if it wasn't for the family dynamics and that I only got to see him on Sundays for an hour or two at my parents' house. So it was difficult for him to be a real mentor, but he was a real good mag. And he would always drop off QST magazines for me and stuff like that. And then, kind of like Gil, after I got my novice license, hormones kicked in and college kicked in, and, took me back until the 90s to get my technicians and got my general back in 2010-something. So, you know, it's been a progression, but frankly, you know, when I got the time and didn't have any other real responsibilities, I was able to dedicate myself to the hobby. So, yeah, TX has been pretty good. I've been doing okay. I got like ZD9W, you know, 5X3K, and I got Rodriguez Island. So, it's been pretty good out there. So, and I hope some of the more. Come on, line. That's all I have to add. W4RQ, K1RA, back to net.
Hey, Kevin, you're good. Well, congratulations on working all the good decks. Yeah, the solar flux has been staying up above 150. We haven't had any major CMEs, coronal mass ejections, in the past week or so. So I think the ionosphere has been fairly stable. 10 meters, as my dad said, 12 meters has been doing quite well. Well into the evening, and quite good in the morning over into Eastern and Western Europe, as well as Southeastern Asia. So tune in while the conditions are hot. We've probably got another year or so or left before we hit the peak from what they're predicting. And now's a good time to have your general and be on the air on HF. Okay, so we get to the bottom of the list. We had Randy, WB7RAV, who had no comment. We're looking forward to Randy and Matt, this coming meeting, giving a talk on VARAC. I guess I will give my comments regarding how I got into ham radio. Yes, many of you know my dad, K1HTV. His basement was full of radio equipment back in the day. Back in 1974, when I was 10, he tried to get me interested in the hobby, gave me some code tapes, sat me down with the code key, had to tap out some code to me, and I just wasn't into it at the time. There was really no desire. So probably several years later, it was when I was 12 years old, I had met a fellow in a middle school. The guy's name was Francis, and his dad knew my dad, and my dad was getting him into radio, and Francis started getting interested in learning the code. He was a really good musician at an early age. Kid could pick up any instrument and learn it and play it on the spot. So he picked up code, no problem. I picked it up along with him. And in the late fall of 76, my dad took me down to one of his friend's house about 30 minutes south of where we lived, Linegary W1ECH. And I remember taking the code test in front of him in his kitchen, and then handing the test to me and passing it. And I guess it was December 6th. I got the license in the mail. I got off the school bus, opened it up, and there it was, WB1ALW. Tongue twister of a call, but and it wasn't that great on CW either. I had that call for a couple of years before I upgraded to general. So, yeah, I'll be celebrating 47 years this December 6th on the air. Unlike my dad, I've had plenty of off time between the ages of 12 and now, as many of you have said. Yeah, other interests, school, and other activities getting in the way. It's been fun all along the way. Turned the hobby into a career, went through electrical engineering school at the University of Maryland, and had a whole bunch of other cool hams who were in their teens and 20s. We had a great club, W3 Echo Alpha X-Ray, and made a career and kept that active for many a year. Okay, so at the bottom of the net, we'll take another round of check-ins. If there's anybody else who'd like to chime in who's not checked in for the net, please give me your call. This is K1RA.
7TRB, Gordon.
K4VA.
KD4, Romeo, Echo, Echo.
I got new check-ins, K7TRB, KG4VA, KD4REE, and there was one other station in there who was stepped on. Can I have your call again, please?
K2PI, recheck.
Kilo, Whiskey 4, Tango, Oscar, Glenn.
Okay, got Harv, your recheck, got KW4TO, and one last call. Anybody else like to check into the Wednesday Night Net or any other rechecks, please call K1RA.
W8BT.
Okay, and Travis, we got you down for a recheck as well. Put the rechecks at the bottom, and we'll start with the new check-in, Gordon. So the question for the night was, how did you get into ham radio? Was it through CB, GMRS, a relative, a teacher, or you did it all on your own? And what else may have you been up in the into in the hobby this week? Go ahead, Gordon.
K1RA is K7TRB. Yeah, interesting to hear how everybody got into it. I guess it was kind of a family hobby. My oldest brother was into it primarily. He was kind of a power mad guy. He had linears and power, but hardly had any antennas. But his Korean War vintage in the Army got his start in radio. And another brother was into it, but more, he was more of an electronics nerd, kind of looked down on ham radio. My father was licensed, but he was just a TV, he was into TV repair and so forth. And then I was licensed in 63 as a novice, 64 general, a radioman in the Navy. And I was inactive for a lot of years. Then in the 70s, I worked in an amateur radio store and wasn't on the air much because I was always working 8-10-hour days and kind of got burned out on it. I tried to get on the air and everybody's like, you know, what's the price of that new radio, whatever, you know. So it's kind of hard to do both. 90s, when I was working in the State Department, I was in Equatorial Guinea. And I worked at K1RA when I was there, so he had me in his log when I first visited with him way back when I started back up here at the club. And 2012, I got my license back and joined the club. And, missed one part back in 85 or so. I worked for Heathkit for a while, but they were about to die off, so that didn't last very long. And then after I was licensed in 2012 with the club, I started taking assignments overseas temporarily with the State Department. So I managed to operate out of five DX locations overseas, and that was a lot of fun. I wasn't as effective as I'd like to be, but I had to keep my day job too. So anyway, that's about my basic history of it. Back to you, Andy, K1RA, K7TRB.
Very good, Gordon. Well, you're one of the lucky few who's been at the fun end of a pileup, being the DX in some of those rare countries, those rare prefixes that you hear from overseas, and getting to hear the gobs of people trying to break through. Hope your tower digging is going well. Haven't heard much from you on that, but now that it's getting a little bit cooler out there, hopefully I get some hands on the shovels and get that hole dug for you so you can get the HF antenna back up where it should belong. Helen, AG4VA, you've heard the question. How you doing? Over to you.
Good evening, Andy. Good evening to everyone on the net. AG4VA, Alan in Ivy, Virginia. Well, I got into amateur radio in the 80s, a friend in high school that I knew. His dad was a ham, had a general class license and a nice shack. And after school, we would play with his equipment, and we slowly learned Morse code and got our novice ticket in 84. And then I, again, slowly learned the code to get my general and eventually advanced because it was just another test. And then I got busy with business. But between working with clients, I had some code tapes in the office, and I used the time to get my code speed up to 20 words a minute and finally got extra in the early 90s. And like some of you said, I've had those times when I wasn't as active. I got very interested in scuba diving for a while, and people begged me to take radio equipment to nice exotic places like the Galapagos Islands. But with all the scuba equipment and camera gear, I opted not to take a radio along. But glad I got into it. It's been a most enjoyable experience, and always looking forward to what's coming up tomorrow. Well, last Wednesday, I got into the net late. I was going to check in. I heard Andy saying they're going to move over to 440, and I checked in and tested the I think you made an upgrade to the to your 440 repeater, and was able to work you guys 50 watts, 20 and 5. And because of that, I left the rig on. So the next morning, last Thursday, we had a good Tropo event, and I heard a lot of chatter on the UHF frequency, but there were nobody had a 4 in their call sign. And the, I hear the Falkir repeater UHF 5.9. I was hearing this repeater further north, 5.1, and it was sometimes in, sometimes out, and a bit scratchy. And then a net started at 8.30. It was KA3KCJ. Her name's Ann. I sent her an email, but the email got bounced. I was trying to narrow down the repeater, but the UHF repeaters up in Pennsylvania have a PL of 131.9, and she's outside of Philadelphia, and I think the repeater is somewhere in the Lancaster area. Anyway, I checked into the net, made a comment, and I put the distance somewhere around 190 miles. I'd like to narrow it down further, but that's a guesstimate, and I think, well, that's my furthest UHF contact to date, thanks to the Tropo. Next Wednesday, one thing about these distant repeaters, if I'm checked into a net in Pennsylvania and the Falkir repeater fires up, I can no longer hear Pennsylvania. So it's fun to have these distant repeaters, but you got to pick your time. I've checked into the HollyNet. The Anne Arundel Amateur Radio Club runs a HollyNet in the mornings. I've checked into that on 2 meters, but same thing here locally. If the Bear Den repeater fires up, then I can't hear the DX repeater anymore. So you got to pick your time for these DX machines.
This is W4VA repeater, PL 167.9 hertz.
Next Wednesday, I'm heading down to Georgia for the Summits on the Air campout. I was down there last October for 5 days. I'll be down there again 11th through the 15th, and had about 30 people last time, probably about the same number this time. This is the second campground. The first one had some problems with their bathhouse plumbing or something. Anyway, they closed the campground because of that. We moved to a second campground, which we thought may be closed if the government didn't figure out a